ॐ सहनाभवतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः
वर्ष नंबर वन श्री भगवानुवाच इदं शरीरं कौन्तेय क्षेत्रमित्यभिधीयते एतद्यो वेत्ति तं प्राहुः क्षेत्रज्ञ इति तद्विद तद्विदः हे कौन्तेय इदं शरीरं क्षेत्रम् इति अभिधीयते हे कौन्तेय हे अर्जुन दिस बॉडी इज कॉल्ड क्षेत्रम् इज कॉल्ड फील्ड इज कॉल्ड द ऑब्जेक्ट ऑफ नॉलेज इट इज द अनात्मा इट इज द नॉन सेल्फ अंडरस्टैंड दैट द बॉडी इज नॉट यू यू आर नॉट द बॉडी Put this way, and Arjuna, understand that you are not the body, meaning that you are not just confined to the body. When I take the body to myself, I feel I am just confined to the body, I don't exist outside the body. That's not the case. If you take yourself to ego, then of course you are confined to the body. But you are even the content of the ego. Ego is like an ornament. The content of ornament is gold. As long as an ornament looks upon itself as an ornament, so long it is different from all other ornaments. Like our Swamiji is fond of telling the story of how a bangle is one ornament, the chain is another ornament. Both are made of gold. But each of them thinks that, I am just this much alone. So bangle thinks that, I'm just a bangle, not chain. Chain thinks that, I'm just a chain, not the bangle. This is called identification. Meaning that, this bangle looks upon itself as just confined to one name and form and one use. Therefore it has complexes. I'm just a bangle. Now I'm something when I say, then I'm declaring that I'm nothing else. Even though when I say I am great, or whatever I call myself to be, that means that I am excluding everything else from myself that I don't realize. So when a bangle says I am a bangle, that means it is nothing else. It's not a chain, it's not a earring, it's not a nose ring, it's nothing else. So then when it looks at the nose ring, this bangle, or earring, then feels a little bad about it. Earring, you know, enjoys such a prominent position. And that has a diamond in it. And whenever this wearer turns around, the diamond radiates, you know, light reflects light, and everybody's attention is drawn. Look at me, always banged all the time. And I am in the rest of this woman who is a maid servant. So he washes clothes, and you know, washes utensils, and always with dirt and soap and detergent. Suffering. How nice would it be if I had been the earring? Earring may have their own complex with the chain. Chain is so well protected. I am not protected. And whatever, thus, moment you think that you are only this much and not something else, it is going to bring about complex and therefore separatedness, excluded. Each one suffers. All that is necessary is for the yearning to know that I'm yearning all right, but not just a yearning, I'm something over and above that I'm gold. So when the yearning declares that I'm gold, it doesn't cease to be an yearning. That advantage, of course, is that at the same time, I'm gold. In that case, there's no exclusion from other ornaments. So this is the vision that Vedanta gives us of our true dimension. Because we are born with a false perception about ourselves, therefore we take ourselves to be only as big and as good as the body. that we take ourselves as small, inadequate and insignificant and suffer from those complexes. And the only suffering we have, which I said a number of times, the only cause of my sorrow is my sense of smallness or inadequacy. There is no other cause of sorrow in our life. Nothing else is the cause of sorrow. Not what happens out there and what happens anywhere else, what even to the body, to the mind, to the ego, nothing need to be a problem. The only problem is that I think I am a limited, inadequate individual. A sense of inadequacy, sense of limit. You think about it. Any problem, any sorrow. Any time you become unhappy, we have to trace the cause of unhappiness. Swamiji, this person's behavior, very insulting, very hurting, very cruel. Swamiji, my boss, my business, my company, my job, my income, my whatever. All of these things cause problem to me today, but none of them need to. When do they cause problem? When anything can cause sorrow in me, you know? Only when that someone or something can create in me a sense of smallness. Only it can, when it create in me, can create in me a sense of helplessness. That's only when I feel sad, not otherwise. It is sense of helplessness, dependence. Helplessness means I cannot do what I want to do and I cannot avoid what I do not want. So whenever you treat me in a manner that triggers that helpless person, that is when I become unhappy with my own self. Therefore, only one who makes me unhappy is myself. Which self? The limited, inadequate self. And what the events do is just to trigger those buttons where the sense of inadequacy is brought to surface. There is no other reason. Think about this. And this is a very important thing to know. We do not think about it. We do not take the time to trace every problem, every sorrow in life to this thing. Anything. Whatever the situation is, nothing need to make me unhappy unless it creates in me a sense of helplessness. Only helpless person is unhappy, that's all. I do not want my income to decline. It declines. I can't help it. I'm helpless. I want this person to behave in a certain way. I cannot do that. I'm helpless. I don't want this person to behave another way, but then I can't help it. So understand, I can't do it. I cannot control. I cannot dominate. I cannot decide. Whenever I cannot control, I cannot dominate, I cannot decide, I cannot assert, I cannot have my way. Outwardly I may say, my way or high road. Inwardly what do I say? I'm helpless. Because I don't have my way. Because I fail to control you. I fail to dominate you. I fail to change you. I fail to make you what I want you to be. I want you to be. I fail to do that. That creates in me a sense of helplessness. It is this one thing that alone is the cause of our sorrow, nothing else. So what about the person suffering from physical pain? Pain is one thing, sorrow is another thing. The physical pain makes me feel helpless. I don't want pain and I can't avoid this pain. Helplessness. I don't want to die. The body is dying. Helplessness. If you didn't want that thing, if you knew that you don't die, it's the body that dies. Suppose you knew that. Suppose you knew that all the pain, everything belongs to the body. Okay, let it be. If we knew whatever true nature is, then there cannot be a sense of helplessness, in which case there cannot be any sorrow or unhappiness in our life. What else do we want? We want only one thing, is to be free from sorrow. What else does human being want? Well, I don't want just to be free from sorrow. I want happiness. Same thing. Because it is a cloud of sorrow that is only veiling the happiness, the pleased self. When the veil of sorrow goes away, the pleased self becomes evident. So we don't have to do anything special to be happy. All we need to do is to remove the sorrow and remove the complex that is the cause of sorrow. Nothing else. So Vedanta gives us a very simple solution to all the problems of life, and that is, know that you are not what you take yourself to be. You are not a helpless, hapless creature. You are in fact infinite. You are limitless. You are all right as you are, in spite of limitations. It is not that when my body will not die, when my body, mind will change, nothing. As you are, with all the limitations in the body, all things as they are in the world, without anything having to change, you are all right. So stop struggling to change the world, to make it, make it agreeable to you. Stop that. You don't need that. What I'm saying is, this is what, and in this simple thing, this is what we keep in our mind. Simple thing. If you cannot keep in mind, at least when we feel sad, at that time bring it to the mind. Swami, I'm very sad this morning. Why? Such a thing happened. This thing did not happen. Something has happened. Something has not happened. Something I wanted did not happen. I didn't want happen. That's what makes me sad. Ask yourself, why am I sad? The answer is not because something happened somewhere else. Something has happened to me. What is it? A sense of helplessness is created in me. I want to do it. I cannot do it. There is no other cause of unhappiness in our life. Ajnanena avrutam jnanam tena mukhyanti jantavah. Lord Krishna says that people are deluded only because the true nature is veiled by the veil of ignorance. So with the first verse, 90% problems are solved. Then also a little problem remains, which the second verse solves. If I know that I am distinct from this body, that I am not confined just to this body, that I am consciousness, which is not confined to the body, which doesn't have any boundaries, I am boundless consciousness that I am. Then the second verse gives the finishing touches to that knowledge. To know that I am not the body is a very important knowledge, but not adequate knowledge. It's not complete knowledge. To know that I am not the body, mind, Shidananda Rupaha Shivoham, that I am Shivaha, I am Ananda, I am consciousness, I am not the body-mind complex, that is extremely comforting and but still, that is not the complete knowledge. Therefore, Lord Krishna says in the second verse, so let us read that verse. Kshetrajñam chapi mam vidhi. Sarvakshetreshu Bharata.
Sarvakshetreshu Bharata.
Kshetra kshetrajnayor jnanam.
Kshetra kshetrajnayor jnanam.
Yatta jnanam matam mama.
Yatta jnanam matam mama.
So, first verse said, a kshetrajna, the knower of the field, the knower of the body is different from the body. Arjuna, you are not the body, you are different from the body, distinct from the body, aware of the body. Which means that the limitations of the body-mind complex do not belong to you. Which means that you are not a limited being. An only limited being can feel helpless, therefore there is no helplessness in you. And still, I may think that I am consciousness, all right. You are consciousness, I am one consciousness, you are another consciousness, third consciousness, still we may feel that there are as many atmas or consciousness as many living beings are. Which is what we think. I am one self, you are another self. And not only we think, many philosophers also think. Except Vedanta, the whole world thinks that anyway. But in India also, many thinkers thought that. Now we have a school of thought called the Sankhya. They say that there are yoga. They say there are many atmas, as many living beings are there, as many self are there. There are as many self, as many body-mind complexes are there. So each body-mind complex is a kshetra. Is like a costume. And then kshetrajna, the self, is different in each one of them. So even that knowledge also is not a totally satisfying knowledge. Even when I come to know that I am not the body, still, as long as I think that you are different from me and I am different from you, so long, I am not comfortable. This duality, that you are different and I am different, it creates a discomfort in me. You know what is duality? You are different, meaning you exclude me and I exclude you. What's the duality? Then bangle. And the chain, that bangle is not chain, chain is not the bangle. Bangle does not have chainness, chain does not have bangleness. Table is different, chair is different. Table does not have chairness, chair does not have tableness. And therefore, table says, see, chair. See, look at your face, everybody sits on you. Look at me. Nobody even sees you. Suppose I'm sitting on a table and say, nobody sees you. Look at me. I'm table, everybody looks at me. The book is kept on me. You are the beast of burden. You have to carry the burden of the body. This table can feel proud. Poor chair can feel miserable. Because chair is not table and table is not chair. But that's true, Swami. It is not so. It is true and not true also. From one standpoint, table is different, chair is different, no doubt about that. The names are different, forms are different, uses are different. Yes, except. But it's from another standpoint, they are not different. From what standpoint? The table also is made of wood, and chair also is made of wood. And therefore, if the table knows that I am wood, and chair knows that I am wood, then table and chair are not different. So that is what the first verse says. Hey table, you are not just a table, you are wood. Because table has a personality. What is the personality? It is form, it is a name, it is a use, table. The chair also has a personality. It is a name, a form, a different use. Thank God table does not have a mind, otherwise it would have its complexes also. And the chair also would have complexes, if that had the mind. But God has not given mind to all these things. It's for human beings, so we can utilize them. Otherwise, you think that the table will let me do this work? No, it will not. The moment I bang, it will protest. If I sit on the chair, it will protest. Swamiji, please reduce your weight next time. But they don't say that. If you go to Himalayas for trekking to Kedarnath or Yamunotri, etc., and then there are these... By now we have lost the capacity to track those 14 kilometers, etc., in the march. So we need some help. So then there are these mules, not horses, but mules. So they carry you. So there are all these... contractors or the business people, you know, they are their mules, and though in the morning they are all crowded there. Hundreds of pilgrims come, and many of them want the mules. So you have the bargaining, what will take, etc. So what's the price? Depends upon you. The owner of the mule looks at you. What is your weight? What is the dimension? Accordingly, he says, you know, how much you have to pay. And sometimes he disqualifies you. I'm sorry, Swami, you cannot travel. Why? My mule cannot take your load. And so, The chair also can tell me, I'm sorry, Swamiji, I cannot take your load. But thank God it doesn't do that. Because it doesn't have a mind. But anyway, where the mind is, of course, the complex is there. But then, name, form, is usually the personality. The personalities are all different. So at one level, you are different, I am different. We don't deny that. Vedanta does not deny the differences that are perceptible. It respects the differences. But Vedanta teaches us that the differences can be really understood and enjoyed. Right now the differences are a problem to us. That you are different from me is a big problem to me. Because you possess something which I don't possess, and I possess something which you don't, and so I am jealous of you and you are jealous of me. This person is bright, look at the grades, look at my grades. That person may have some other contention. This fellow is happy, you know, he doesn't care for his grades, and see. Some people don't worry. My grades, so what does it matter? So father says, come on, work hard, you can do better. But I'm already all right, I passed my exam, what do you want? That's what his son says, you know. He's not worried. He's not jealous of his friends. But look at your friends. Look at that, it doesn't matter. He doesn't feel. You want to make him feel jealous so that you can motivate him to. Sometimes it doesn't work. You want him to feel like inadequate. Come on, look at this people. He doesn't feel inadequate. He's a happy person. Although we don't like happy people, therefore we want to create complexes in them. We think that person works hard only if he's dissatisfied, so we want to create dissatisfaction in them. You do that, that's okay. But what I'm saying is this. When the two things are different, there's going to be these kind of complexes. And therefore, even though I may be good, happy with what I am, but still I'm not what you are, meaning that I do not have what you have. I feel a lack. Moment I am in presence of you, I suffer from a sense of lack because there is a mutual exclusion. This hearing is all right as long as it is alone. Moment looks at the bangle, then there are problems. Because hearing doesn't have the benefit the bangle has. Because the hearing doesn't make any sound, the bangles make sounds. That's how people look at it. So everybody looks at the bangles, nobody looks at me. Bangle is so big, I'm so little. I don't know, however the hearing would think. So this big, another big problem in our life is this what we call duality. Duality doesn't mean two. Mutual exclusive is called duality. You know what is duality? Mutual exclusion. The table is different, chair is different, need not be a duality. But table feels that I'm excluded by the chair, and chair feels that I'm excluded by table, then I feel a sense of being excluded. That is where the problem is. The world excludes me, I feel isolated, I feel separated. So Lord Krishna says, even this duality also is not real. Just as your sense of limitation is not real because you are not what you take yourself to be, you take this body-mind complex to be yourself, which you are not. You are distinct from that. And therefore their limitations don't belong to you. The death belongs to body, not to you. The limitedness belongs to your mind, not to you. Swami, I'm limited in every way, but I can't remember. That's a problem of memory. I can't understand what you're talking. Problem of intellect. I can't hear what you're saying. Last night I had a hard time, you know, talking to somebody in the telephone. I kept on repeating, other person did not hear anything, you know. I kept on shouting. So, that's a problem of ear. Don't worry. Who does not hear? I don't hear. Ear is not you. Ear does not hear. Vedanta says. No, I don't hear. No, ear does not hear. Because you know that your ear does not hear, is it not so? I can't see well. Don't say I can't see well. My eyes cannot see well. There's a big difference. Eyes cannot see well is no problem. I cannot see well is a problem. Problem, when something centers on I, then it becomes a problem. Otherwise it's not a problem, understand? that eyes, if I know the eyes I am not, then I don't care whether eyes, you know, I don't care, meaning that it doesn't affect me. But I cannot see. Eyes cannot see well. Ears cannot hear well. So I can't walk, legs cannot walk. I cannot think too well. The mind does not think too well. My stomach is not, you know, I'm hungry. Stomach is hungry. This is right. You can do this, by the way. Whenever any problem arises, you can say this. And you'll be right. In this verse then says, Kshetrajnam chapimam viddhi. The one who is the indweller of this body, that conscious being which separates from the body, what is his nature? Lord Krishna says a wonderful thing. Kshetrajnam chapimam viddhi sarvakshetreshu bhārata. We think that I am different self and you are different self. You know what the Sankhyas say? There are philosophers called Sankhyas. And they give reason why the self should be different. They infer. Infer that one Atma should differ from other Atma. Swamiji, if all Atmas are one, if you and I are one, then when you are happy, I should be happy. Is it not so? If you and I are one, if you are happy, I should be happy. Then all the people should be happy together. They should be all sad together. Should be all born together. They should all die together. But that's not so. One is being born, other is dying. One is happy, other is unhappy. Everybody is different. Therefore, the Atmas also must be many. As many personalities are there, as many persons must be there. This is their view. And they think that the world also is real. The Nyayikas say that happiness, unhappiness all belongs to Atman. One's unhappiness is different, this fellow's happiness is different, therefore Atmas are many. As we think. But they philosophize. The thing is that what everybody thinks, they give logical reasons. Lord Krishna says, no. Kshetrajnam chapimam viddhi sarvakshetreshu bhārata. He Bharata. Lord Krishna addresses Arjuna by different names. Bharata, of course, his name was because he belongs to the lineage of King Bharata. Our country is called Bharata because the first king is Bharata, son of Dushyanta. Now, which Bharata it is, there are debates, of course, as to which Bharata it is. But then, one common understanding is that the son of Dushyanta was Bharata. He was very courageous and valorous king. He was a sovereign, and by his name, the country is called Bharata. Arjuna belongs to that lineage, means, so you are great by, even by the birth. But then the scholars explain what Bharata also has another meaning, what we call the etymological meaning, derivative meaning, Bha and Rata. Bha means light, light of knowledge. So Bha can mean light, it can mean knowledge. Knowledge of what? Knowledge of Self, knowledge of Brahma. So Bha can mean knowledge, Brahma Vidya. You know Rata? Rata is one who is absorbed in it. Rata is one who revels in it. Rata. So one who revels in the knowledge of Brahman, one who revels in the knowledge of Self is Bharata. He Bharata. Kshetrajnam, the indwelling in the body, the conscious being in the body, the Self in the body. What is his nature? Lord Krishna says, Kshetrajnam chapimam viddhi. Chapi, and also, may know that Kshetrajna, the indweller is different from the dwelling. That's a simple thing. You can look upon this body as a dwelling place also. That is why, just as when we relocate, for whatever reason, we give one dwelling, go to another dwelling. From here to Michigan. From Pennsylvania to Michigan. From this house to another house.
So also that's what we do.
When the death happens, this dwelling is given up, I go down to the dwelling.
But when we change the house, we also carry all the baggage with us. We don't go just like that.
Some people leave all the furniture here and, you know, everything is given up. They renunciate or whatever. Most people take all the... Then we realize what baggage we have accumulated in 15 years.
Before that I lived in an apartment and one big van was enough to accommodate my belongings. In 15 years, two trucks are not enough, you know. All the baggage. Go from one dwelling to the other.
But when can we do that? When we are not the house. When can I actually relocate from Pennsylvania to Michigan when I am not the house? I am different from the house. Is it not so?
It's a dwelling. I'm the indweller.
So the roof leaks. My head does not leak. So when we know the distinction between the house and ourselves, if something happens to the house, we don't cry. Oh, my head is leaking. We don't say that.
Roof is leaking. Because the distinction is very clear to us.
Lord Krishna wants this distinction also to become clear. That this is a temple. Sometimes they call it temple. The body is called the temple because the Lord dwells in it. Sometimes they call it the dwelling because the king. Sometimes they call it the city. Navadvare pure dehi sukham aste vashi.
It's called the city of nine gates. And you are like the king who lives in the city.
So just in the olden days, cities used to have gates. There was a wall which enclosed the city for protection. Humankind has always been fighting and fighting, that's all. Why do you need all this stuff? So many forts are built to protect against the invaders. Anyway, it doesn't matter. Let's say there's a fort around the city with gates so that you just protect the city. So also this city having nine gates, seven gates on a body, 2 ears, 2 eyes, 2 nostrils and 1 mouth, and 2 gates for excretion and, you know, urination. 9 gates. So who are you? You're the indweller of the city of the body. You're the king. You can look at it that way. When the king goes, everybody goes together. So when this fellow departs, all his baggage also goes with him. That's why we're born with a lot of baggage. When we're born, you brought all the baggage. You didn't leave it there in the old house. All the baggage. House only is left. All the baggage is brought. All the baggage is carried in our mind. And so we take it with us. But what's the true nature of the indweller? Lord Krishna says, Kshetrajnam chabhima vidhi sarvakshetre shubharata. Lord Krishna, I am the Kshetrajna. I am the indweller. Who I? I means Lord. Means Narayana. So this is, here it is revealed that this jiva, this individual being or individual soul or conscious being is none other than Narayana. I am not only the indweller of the city, not only, you know, the sense organs and mind also are the various tools that I use. The organs of perception are like the tools with which I, like my telephone and computers, with which I get the data. The organs of action are the tools with which I respond to the world. My mind also is the tool with which I perform various functions. I am different from them. The body is a dwelling. The sense organs of action and perception are the various tools or implements. The mind also is my computer. I am not them. Okay, but then who are you? Kshetrajnam chabhimam vidhi sarvakshetreshu bharata. He bharata. He Arjuna. In fact, you, what you consider as you or the self, is I, the Narayana. The Nara and Narayana are both one. So Arjuna is called Nara. Lord Krishna is called Narayana. Some of you may know that among many incarnations of Lord,
This Nara Narayana also was an incarnation. You know, Matsya, Kurma, Varaha, so many avatars are there. 10 major incarnations, but there are 24 and many others which are described in Bhagavatam and other texts. So one of the incarnations of the Lord was Nara Narayana. Interestingly, he incarnated as two persons together. These two are two rishis, Nara and Narayana. So Lord Narayana, Vishnu, incarnated as Nara and Narayana. Today also when you go to Badrinath, one of the shrines in Himalayas, they'll show you two mountains. Because this Nara Narayana is said to be performing austerities in the Himalayas, in that particular field, in that particular kshetra, in that holy place called Badrikashram. So today also they are shown as performing penance. They will show you, the priest will show you two mountains. So this is Nara, this is Narayana. What one appearing as two? Some of you may have studied this Mundaka Upanishad. There you may have listened to this mantra. Dva suparana sayuja sakhaya samanam vruksham parishasvajate tayoranya pipalam svadvatti anashnan anya abhichakashiti. The Upanishad says, there is a tree on which two birds are perching. One of the birds is restless, hungry. He goes from one branch to the other and eats the various fruits on this tree. The other bird remains in its place, just watching and blessing the other bird. Nara and Narayana. One bird is this jiva, other bird is Ishvara. They look two different birds. In fact, they are one because in appearance they are similar, identical. One appearing as two. Two birds are not two. What is meant is that what is one appears as two. See, in Bhagavad Gita also, you know the teaching takes place in a chariot? Similar to that. So Mundaka Upanishad has this imagery of a tree and the two birds. Bhagavad Gita has one chariot in which there are two birds. What two birds? Arjuna and Lord Krishna, Nara and Narayana. There are one appearing as two. Who is one bird? You and I are one bird. The other bird? Lord Narayana. Limitless is the other bird. Kshetrajnam chapimam viddhi sarvakshetreshu bharata. He Arjuna, I am the one dwelling in all the embodiments. Can you believe that? Can you believe that the fellow is talking right now? Who is talking, you know? Narayana is talking. Swami, you seem to be very arrogant this morning. No, who is listening, you know? Narayana is listening. If I thought that I am Narayana and you are stupid, then it's a different thing. No. Narayana is talking, Narayana is listening. To explain this, Upanishads tell us a story like this. They say that in the beginning of creation, Ishvara, Lord, thought that may I become many. So kamayata bahusyam rajayayeti. So Ishvara, Lord, thought that may I create, may I become many. And he created this whole universe. He created all these different cities or all indwellings he created, you know. Sometimes they're called nests. Like a bird entering the nest. Sometimes they are called houses, like Devadatta entering a house. Sometimes they are called cities, like the king entering the city. So God created all these different cities. Then what did He do? This story is told elaborately in another Upanishad called Aitareya Upanishad. How this beautiful equipment is created. How the organs of perception are there, how the organs of action are there, how the whole infrastructure is there. And then Ishvara thinks, whole infrastructure of the body is there. Sense organs of perception are there, organs of action are there, mind is there, intellect is there, everything, the whole infrastructure is there. Like building a house, furnishing it, everything is all set. What's the use of that house unless somebody dwells in that? Because house is not for the sake of the house, house is for the sake of the one who dwells in that. So this house with all the infrastructure is created, then God thinks. See, God can also, this is a story. Hey, what's the use of this creation if I am not in there? Without me, what's the use? The eyes will bring the knowledge of colors and forms for whom? The ears will bring the sound for whom? The tongue will bring the knowledge of different tastes for whom? Understand that ears do not hear for themselves, they hear for somebody else, is it not so? The ears are hearing for whom? The ears are constantly active, bringing the knowledge or data of different sounds. For whom? For somebody else. The eyes are constantly bringing the knowledge or cognitions of different colors and forms and offering it to somebody. The five organs of perception, they bring constantly the knowledge of the objects of the world, not for themselves. See, selfless service is going on right here. You don't need to go too far to see where selflessness is. Eyes are selfless, are they not? They see not for themselves, for whom? For the indweller. Ears, eyes, all organs of perception, all organs of action, the speech is all the talking, not for itself, for the indweller. So God thought, what is the use of this whole infrastructure if I am not there? That these organs of perception will bring all kinds of knowledge. For whom? If the enjoyer is not there, then there will be no use of that. Therefore, he entered. From where did he enter, you know? From the top. There are two entries in the body. One is the toe of the right foot. Other is the crown of the head. So God is thinking, by which passage should I enter? Hey, I cannot go through the back door. I cannot enter through this toe. That's the job. That's the place where the servants enter. The master always enters from the front door. And therefore, he entered from the crown. That's the reason why this is considered to be a very important center. Anyway, whether you believe these stories or not, these are stories. The point is that the one who is dwelling in this body-mind complex is Narayana. Meaning, one who is talking right now is Narayana. The one who is listening right now is Narayana. Swami, how can so many Narayanas be there? You're also Narayana? There are so many Narayanas? There's one at least in our audience, but then here, so many Narayanas are there. How can one be so many? That is called magic. We cannot do that. God can do that. And that's all belief, Swamiji. We also do that. In the dream, we also create a world like this. When I'm dreaming and giving lecture or talk like this to audience in front of me, then also that is my creation. Because you people do not even know that you were in my dream last night, do you know? Do you know what I was talking about last night? Do you know? You don't know. Do you remember the question that you asked me last night? What are you talking, Swamiji? You don't remember what question you asked me? The beautiful reply that I gave, you must be Swamiji, something must be wrong. You don't know? But you were all in my dream, asking various questions. I was replying to them. Where do you come from? From my mind, not from your house. You are all creations of me. Meaning that, say, God created man in his own image. I created all of you from my own thing. So the dream, the whole dream world is nothing but I having become the whole dream world. How can you say, Swamiji? Because before I went to sleep, I alone was, you were not there. When I wake up, then also you are not there, I alone am. In between the whole thing is there. So where did it come from? Naturally came from me and went back to me. But suppose it was real, Swamiji. Why not? What you were last night seeing was real. Then you know what happens? I woke up, those fellows are still waiting there for me. If dream was real, that doesn't happen. When I wake up, everybody also wakes up. So how we create miracles every day, or more or less every day in the dream? Because the dream world is nothing but my own self, except that at that time I do not know, unfortunately. Therefore, the same samsara is in the dream also. In the dream also, while listening to me, you doze off, I feel bad, you know. And so same samsara in the dream also. What happens in waking happens in dream also. In the dream also, the dog is chasing me, I run for my life. Not realize the dog also myself. I'm chasing myself. I don't, when I wake up, then I laugh at the whole thing. How stupid I was. A thief came into my dream and stood right in front of my bed. I could not even scream. I couldn't do anything. I was frozen. And out of fear, I just woke up. Thank God there is no thief. But that time, who was the thief? I was the thief. And I was the one who was scared. Something similar. What is only one, appearing as many. One Narayana, appearing as those countless beings. This chapter itself describes subsequently. Sarvatah Panipadantata, Sarvatokshishiromukham, Sarvatah Shrutimalloke, Saramavritta Tishthati. He, the Narayana, dwells in the whole universe. Sarvatah Panipadantata, having feet and legs everywhere. Sarvatokshi Shiromukha, having eyes and heads everywhere and mouths everywhere. Sarvatashritimalloke, having ears everywhere, he is pervading everything. He is there, manifest in this way. This Vedanta teaches to us that what is all manifestation of one Narayana. You and I, meaning it, is all manifestation of myself. There is no essential difference between you and I. Difference only in the costume, but not in the one wearing the costume. This Narayana, the grand actor, is called Nataraja. And ordinary Nata or the ordinary actors can play one role, or one or double role, a triple role. But this Narayana, Nataraja, plays how many roles? You know, countless roles simultaneously. I don't believe so. Are you saying that there is Narayana dwelling in everybody's body-mind complex? Yes. I'm sure the question will come in satsang. Swami, you say that Narayana is the self of all? Yes. How come Narayana does not stop the thief from stealing? You say, God is sitting here? How come he doesn't stop the thief? How come he doesn't stop the murderer? How come he doesn't change? How come he doesn't do anything? That's a very valid question, a very emotional problem. But our answer is that when we are watching a movie and there a thief is stealing something, do you call police? Somebody shooting somebody else, do you call police? No, somebody, that's movie, that's just an appearance. That's how it is, one Narayana, you know, appearing and acting in all these roles. So he also is a thief, he also is the one who is frozen in presence of thief. It's all play of one Narayana. Kshetrajnam chabhimam viddhi sarvakshetra shubharata. That's the reason why. If you want to see God anywhere, you don't go any place else. Look at yourself. Don't tell me, Swami, I am Narayana. Don't tell me I am God. I know who I am. Vedanta says you do not know who you are. You think you know who you are. Look at yourself. You find that you are a conscious being. Consciousness is your nature. Conscious nature of anybody. And there cannot be many consciousnesses because consciousness has no boundaries at all. If consciousness was confined to one body, then there can be many. But how many spaces can be there? There can be 1500 different pots and pans here, each one having its own space. So one pot space, second pot, how many spaces are there? If the space thinks that I'm confined to the part, then I'm one part space, another part space, and I suffer from a complex that I'm just confined. Several sense of confinement. But really, how many spaces are there? Pot cannot divide the space. Space is not within the pot. Parts are within the space. And so also, it's not that consciousness is in the body. The body is in consciousness. Kshetrajnam chabhimam viddhi sarvakshetre shubharata. This knowledge is extremely important in everything in our life. In all our relationships, this knowledge comes to bear, and there'll be heaven in this, on the earth. At least heaven wherever, not even this knowledge, even this kind of a little understanding. Meaning that even if this has not become a reality for you, but at least intellectually understand it, it makes sense, Swamiji. It makes sense. That just the dwellings are different, but the one who dwells is one, it makes sense. Essentially, what I am is essentially what you are. That's what Bhagavad Gita says. Vidya vinaya sampanne brahmane gavihastini shunichaiva svapageja pandita samadarshinah. Lord Krishna says, look, in a very learned and humble and pure learned person, a sattvic person, a cow, an elephant, a dog, an untouchable, a sattvic, a rajas, a tamas, all these different personalities are there. Panditaha, samadarshinaha, the wise people. See, only one self dwelling on all of them. Because the dwelling does not affect the indweller. Just because house is big doesn't mean I become big or house is small, so I shrink. That would be terrible. That may help also. If you want to reduce the weight, just go from bigger house to smaller house. Doesn't work? This size, any attributes of the house, they don't affect the indweller. And so also, the indweller remains immaculate, always remains pure, unchanged, unaffected by the attributes of this dwelling. So wise people know that all the attributes belong to the body-mind complex. The self is attributeless, changeless, formless, boundless. Panditaha samadarshinaha, the wise people see the same self dwelling all of them, and therefore they do not see any difference. That's why I said yesterday that most comfortable we are with a wise person because does not see any difference at all. This is Vedantic teaching. And that's all Vedanta is. Everything else is preparation for Vedanta. Karma Yoga is not Vedanta. Antakarana Shuddhi is not Vedanta. Vedanta begins from there. But now we include everything in Vedanta, but the idea is that where Vedanta has its pramanyam, we talk of the Antakarana Shuddhi, purification of mind, because this teaching does not touch us, you know. Even though we are saying and shouting and thrusting upon you, trying to, you know, put down your throat, it doesn't work there. Just waiting when this class is going to be over, Swamiji, that's, you know, because it doesn't make sense. I don't believe that. I understand what you say, but it doesn't, you know, I can't. I cannot give that much credit to myself that I am limitless. No way. I'm willing to call you limitless, but not me. I know who I am. We have such low self-esteem about ourselves that we cannot give credit to us. We can't believe this. I can't believe that I am limitless. I can't believe that I am all right. That is why Vedanta talks about antahakana shuddhi, a purification of mind, making mind essentially free from these attachment and aversions. With that mind, you will feel that, yes, your Swami, what you are saying is right. Because as the likes and dislikes go, you experience yourself as a pleased self. And the Vedanta just verify that the pleased self you are experiencing is your true nature. So it is true that some experience also is necessary in life. Because knowledge can only come from experience. Knowledge cannot come without experience. I can know something which I am experiencing. I can cognize, I can perceive you when you are an object of my experience. So also when the Atma, which Ananda, becomes an object of experience, that is when I am assured that yes, Ananda is my nature. And therefore it is necessary to bring about self-growth, inner purification, so that the happiness, which is my nature, becomes manifest, becomes evident. Then this will touch us right away. Kshetrajnam chapi ma vidhi sarvakshetre shubharada. Here, Arjuna, know me, the limitless, to be the self of all, one without a second. This is the teaching of non-duality. The first verse taught us the separatedness between the self and the non-self. The second verse tells us about the oneness of the self, the non-duality. But in these two verses, in three lines, Vedanta is done. That's all we need to know. And I tell you one thing. Just keep this much and keep on dwelling upon that. Even that brings about antarkhana shuddhi. Even dwelling, keeping this in mind, because then we won't give reality to many of our likes and dislikes. I know, this doesn't make sense. Why am I thinking like this? So, when we bring the right thinking, then we ourselves will not validate our wrong thinking. Therefore, that's why to spend some time, that's called meditation. You can memorize these three lines, and you can dwell upon that. Every day, you can begin our day with that and tell the mind, look mind, this is the reality, what you think is not the reality. Mind will forget, become the same, doesn't matter, do it again. Like the tail of a dog, you straighten it, becomes curl again, straighten it. But this dog will some way, this tail will straighten. And so, this is a very, not only important thing to know, but important to keep in mind. This can solve all the problems. This simple thing can solve all the problems, because all the problems are emotional problems. They are all born of not knowing this, and because of the wrong perception of ourselves. Okay, we'll conclude here this morning. Om Purnamadah Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vashishyate Om Shanti 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 Shankaram Shankaracharyam Keshavam Vadarayanam Sutra Bhashya Krutau Vande Bhagavantau Punapunaha Ishvaro Guru Ratmedi Murti Veda Vibhagine Vyoma Vajvyapta Dehaya Dakshinamurtaye Namaha Om Shanti 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 Hari Om Shri Guru Bhyo